This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHD, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
A major win for freedom at the United States Supreme Court today. Two big wins for the Constitution and a big slap in the face to government. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. The debt fight intensifies. Governor Ron DeSantis' reaction to his announcement yesterday. It's all here for you on a jam-packed 3 hours to go. But very happy to welcome to the show Thomas Berry. Thomas Berry is a research fellow at the Cato Institute's Robert A. Levy Center for Constitutional Studies and editor-in-chief of the Cato Supreme Court Review. And it's great to have you here, Thomas Berry. I know you used to be at the Pacific Legal Foundation. Big win for them today, for your former organization.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Two big wins in one day, in fact, for an organization with only about 30 lawyers. I don't know of many other organizations that have that claim to fame of two Supreme Court wins in one day.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. I'm a huge fan of not only the Cato Institute, which I am, but also the Pacific Legal Foundation. So it's great to have you on the show since you represent both organizations in one time or another. Let's start with the WOTUS ruling, shall we? I mean, the waters of the United States. What I'm seeing here is it's giving me a lot of hope that the way this court has responded to the EPA twice now by pushing back against their egregious overreach, that when ultimately they do rule on Chevron, we might see the end to this deference to the out-of-control executive branch of government.
Yeah, I think that may well be an apt inference from the way the court has been ruling lately. And this is certainly a very welcome end to what's been an unbelievably long legal saga. Believe it or not, this case went up to the Supreme Court all the way back in 2008 on a preliminary question of just how it could be litigated. So this family has been fighting for the ability to build on their property for over 15 years.
Amazing. And 15 years now, we're dealing with what was something like 0.63 acres of land or something. And the real idea of this WOTUS rule, this Waters of the United States, give us an overview of what the government's argument here, what the EPA's argument in terms of their ability to regulate, and to what extent, how far the reach went up until this ruling.
Sure. So this all comes from the Clean Water Act, which basically says you need a permit to dump or otherwise affect waters of the United States. And so the crux of the issue is, what does that term mean? What's a water of the United States? The government has consistently tried to define that as expansively as it can. At one point, it said it's literally anything wet that a migratory bird might take a stop in. So if there's a puddle that a bird takes a little nap in on its way to the Gulf of Mexico, that counts. Later, that got struck down by the Supreme Court. Yeah, that got down by the Supreme Court. But their current approach is they basically wanted to do what they called the significant nexus test, which is, say there's a lake and you have a bit of wetland in your backyard. It's not at all connected to the lake, but say that it's part of one ecosystem. So maybe some frogs, you know, will migrate and spend some time in your backyard and later spend some time in the lake. Maybe, you know, storms are affected by both, whatever. Basically, anytime you can show some connections in nature between your water and a permanent water, that's enough. So that was the government's argument, and that's why they claimed that this kind of marshy, wet area in the backyard of this couple's property, that's why they claimed it was a wetland and the water of the U.S.
It's amazing the overreach of private property rights that the EPA was trying to do here. It's amazing but not surprising. I mean, obviously, they view private property rights as something that is subject to a bureaucrat deciding whether or not you really own it, not something that is enshrined in this nation's founding. And that's the difference, obviously, and that's why it's great to have Cato and the Pacific Legal Foundation fighting for property rights again, but also fighting against the administrative state. I think this case means so much as a win, because both issues were there, right? Private property rights and also the overreach of the administrative state. That's why this ruling is making a lot of people happy. Now, explain to us, if you could, Thomas Berry. It was a unanimous decision. However, there were several concurring decisions that were 5-4. So what does that all mean? The Washington Post never mentioned it was a unanimous decision. In fact, Chuck Schumer's out there whining that it's the MAGA Supreme Court that overturned this rule.
That's right. So it was unanimous on the judgment. Everyone agreed that the Sackett's own property, the actual property at issue in this case, is not a water of the United States. So on the judgment, on the upshot, it was unanimous. But on the rule to apply going forward, it was sharply split 5-4. So the majority opinion by Justice Alito, in my view, correctly established a bright line rule that essentially said waters of the United States are permanent bodies of water, the kind of things that are obviously water, like a lake, a river, a stream, plus wetlands that are contiguous with those. So no break in between, no, 30-yard gap that maybe they're only connected by an ecosystem. No, the opinion says there has to literally be a fully connected, contiguous, sheet of water connecting your wetland to the permanent body, the lake or the stream. And in that case, it can be regulated. And so that test, the good thing about that test, in my view, is that it's easier for people to see with their own eyes. You don't have to hire really expensive ecologists to tell you whether or not your backyard puddle is a water of the United States. Concurrences, so four justices that concurred in the judgment, they wanted a test closer to the government's. So this was the three more liberal justices, plus somewhat surprisingly, Justice Kavanaugh as well, joining those three. And they would have had a somewhat more expansive rule that applied to wetlands, not just wetlands connected to rivers and streams, but pretty much anything that can be described as a wetland, even not connected to a more permanent body of water.
Interesting. So the good news is that not only did the property owners win, but also going forward, we have this new way of looking at this rule that I think is going to make a lot more sense and it will really restrain the Environmental Protection Agency.
Absolutely. And one key point that Alito's opinion made is that there can be criminal penalties for violating the Clean Water Act. And it's a core crux of American jurisprudence that you have to have bright line rules when you have criminal penalties. People should be able to tell whether conduct is a crime or not. So it's especially serious to have really vague, unpredictable rules when there are not just civil but potentially criminal penalties at stake.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here with us today. Thomas Berry is a research fellow at the Cato Institute's Center for Constitutional Studies and editor-in-chief of the Cato Supreme Court Review. Before joining Cato, he was an attorney at the Pacific Legal Foundation, which is the firm today, or organization, I guess I'd really say, that had two wins before the United States Supreme Court. Truly, truly amazing. Now, turning over to this, to the asset forfeiture case or the seizure case, the home equity theft case. I mean, here you have a woman who owed the government some property taxes. They slapped on a whole bunch of fees and a whole bunch of interest, and then ultimately took her house, sold her house, and kept the excess proceeds. Is that pretty much a good breakdown of what happened?
That's exactly it. It's a pretty outrageous fact. She owed about, $15,000 in taxes and fees. They sold her house for $40,000, and they pocketed the excess. So essentially, they pocketed $25,000 that was her own home equity.
So the Pacific Legal Foundation represented her. It took 10 years. This woman's in her 90s. She's a great-grandmother. It's a heartbreaking story. The lower court, what's interesting to me is that the lower court was unanimous in their ruling, saying that the government absolutely had a right to take that equity. And today's Supreme Court ruling was unanimous, saying that they don't.
Absolutely. The lower courts had essentially bought Minnesota's argument that we get to define property however we want. We can pass our own laws that say what's your property and what's not. So they essentially bought the Minnesota argument that because we have a statute that says, oh, it's not your property anymore once you haven't paid your taxes and once you seize it, then there's no taking because you can't have a taking if it's not your property. But the Supreme Court quite rightly said, well, if it's that easy to get away from the requirement to pay just compensation, then any state can get around that requirement. They can just say, oh, it's not taking. We're just redefining it as not your property anymore.
There's a lot of states around the country that do this, right? That they will, first of all, I mean, everybody adds the fees and the interest, and these seemingly minor property tax bills become something that would just crush a person. That alone, I think, needs to be looked at some point. But beyond that, I mean, once these bills add up and then the states come in and seize property, I was reading a little bit from the Pacific Legal Foundation about what some states do. I mean, some of them are just downright egregious with having these basically selling the tax liability to an outside company who then buys it and then winds up kicking the people out of their home. And sometimes the homeowners don't even know that the tax debt has been sold. There's some things out there that just really make you cringe.
Absolutely. And according to Pacific Legal Foundation, there are 13 states that have this practice like Minnesota, what they call, I think correctly, home equity theft. And the great thing about this decision is that it's so thoroughly struck down what Minnesota is doing that it sets a clear precedent that none of these other states can continue doing this as well. So if any other state besides Minnesota tries to do something similar going forward, this precedent is a clear message to lower courts that they just can't allow this to go on anymore.
Are you surprised it was a unanimous ruling? Were there any concurring opinions or anything like that?
There was one concurring opinion, a good one by Justice Gorsuch, joined by Justice Jackson, that pointed out not only did this violate the takings clause, it also violated the excessive fines clause. That's another part of the Constitution that says you can't have a fine that exceeds, that's unreasonable, that's excessive. And essentially, if you treat the $25,000 as a fine, it was obviously excessive compared to the $15,000 that she owed. So he essentially completely agreed with the majority opinion and said, this is not only unconstitutional, it's twice over unconstitutional.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. And I agree with that 100%. And that's what I was alluding to earlier, Thomas Berry, is that when you've got a property tax bill of a couple hundred bucks or a couple thousand dollars, and then with the penalties, the fees and the interest and the compounding interest and everything else, it becomes just something that a lot of people just can't pay. And I think that does need to be looked into here. So I'm glad Justice Gorsuch wrote that opinion. And I'm happy to hear that Justice Jackson joined in on that, because it's outrageous what government can do if you owe them money.
Absolutely. And a lot of the times it's not based on, it's not based on what's fair in terms of what they owed. It's based on what does the county need. And the county was, shameless. They conceded that the reason they take this money is that they use it for their own ends. They want to build, libraries and firehouses and whatever. And so when a fine is essentially for the purpose of paying city needs, rather than actually, pegged for what people should rightly owe, that's a serious problem.
Before I let you go, where do things stand with civil asset forfeiture? I know that that's something that Cato has spoken out against a lot, and I know the Pacific Legal Foundation has spoken out against it as well. I find it to be one of the most egregious violations of the Constitution, civil forfeiture. Do you think that at some point the high court is going to tackle this issue?
I do think it will eventually. This is something that Pacific Legal Foundation has been doing a great job bringing a lot of cases. They've had a lot of victories in the lower courts. They still have not been able to get a case up to the Supreme Court to set a precedent nationwide. But I certainly think that both of these decisions today show that this current Supreme Court is very favorably inclined to private property rights. And you can make exactly the same excessive fines argument about this. Another organization called Institute for Justice, where I once interned, also brings a lot of great cases on this, that if you essentially say, lose a car or something because of a traffic violation, that clearly, at the very least, that that has to violate the excessive fines clause along the lines of the Gorsuch concurrence.
Yeah, and you've got Americans around this country who, I mean, are literally getting robbed on the side of the road by the government, taking their money if they have cash, you know, and or cash at the airport. And Ben, we had a case in Philly where the Institute of Justice represented the homeowners, where their grandson was outside dealing pot or something, and they wound up losing the house. They didn't even know the kid was doing it. So there's a lot of these examples of that across the country. So I do hope that that is dealt with as well. But more than anything, I think we're all excited and optimistic about Chevron. Can you just give us a little insight into that case and when? It's already been heard, right?
That's right. It'll be heard in the next upcoming term. So sometime between October of this year and April of next year, that's the upcoming term. It's about whether the a fisheries agency could force small-time fishermen to pay for a government monitor to be on their boats to make sure they're not, you know, catching too many fish. The statute had nothing to say about this. It was completely silent. An agency just said, oh, we're going to fill a gap and say that it's allowed. We can force people to do this. And the petition to the Supreme Court explicitly said, we want you to take this case and reconsider whether Chevron should be overturned. And the Supreme Court said, we're going to take this case and we're going to limit it to that question. And so that's a really strong sign that the Supreme Court is taking very seriously the question about whether Chevron should be overturned entirely. And I think there are a lot of tea leaves suggesting that there are at least five, if not six, justices that are ready to overturn Chevron.
And then in layman's terms, what does that mean then if Chevron is overturned?
It essentially means more power to courts and less power to agencies to interpret the law. So the judicial power is vested in the courts of Article 3 in the Constitution. Chevron says that if it's a close case, if it could go either way, a court has to defer to the agency's legal judgment as long as it's within the bounds of reasonableness. So, you know, even if a court would go one direction, they have to go the opposite direction if that's what the agency thinks it is. So it essentially makes agencies part-time judges for interpreting statutes that apply to their own power. And you can see how they would have an incentive to always interpret it maximally to say, oh, yes, this gives us the maximum amount of power. So if Chevron's overturned, that's not going to happen anymore. Judges are going to be deciding more legal questions without a thumb on the scale of what the agency thinks is right.
Excellent. Well, we're hoping here. Thomas Berry, thank you so much for joining me today. Keep up the great work at the Cato Institute. We really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. Well, speaking of water on your property, the good news is that the EPA can't regulate it anymore unless it's contiguous to an actual navigable body of water or something that is obviously water like a lake or a stream. But the bad news, though, is that if you have water on your property, it's probably costing you a lot of money and causing you a lot of damage. That's why you need to reach out to Garden State Earthworks. Here's the number. 856-848-4444. We've got more rain coming. This weekend might be a mess, actually, or maybe early next week. But wherever water is a problem on your property, you need to deal with it. Perhaps it's causing you problems with your swimming pool, your pool liner's floating, or it's causing you damage to your hardscaping, your landscaping, getting in your house, basements, crawl spaces. That causes mold and mildew, and you got mosquitoes breeding in your backyard. If you've got water swales, you need the professionals at Garden State Earthworks to deal with it. Don't trust a landscaping company. Trust the experts, the people that I used in my old home when we had a wet basement. They showed up. They said, we will drain this water away, guaranteed, and you'll never have another drop of water in that basement again. And they were right. 856-848-4444 or go to GardenStateEarthworks.com. They drain the water away once and for all. And when it's gone, it's gone. And you'll have peace of mind because water problems never, ever get better on their own. They always require somebody to help. And Garden State Earthworks is the best at what they do. 856-848-4444 or GardenStateEarthworks.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.